September 10th, 1979, talking to Lorraine Honey at her fish camp at Big Eddy.
Well, let's see, where would we start? Maybe we could just start about talking about the time when you and Johnny got married. What that was like from your, you know, from what you remember, the two of you.
Yeah, I was married in 1936, and I was 16 when he married me, and he's about 9.5 years older than me.
Why did you think you wanted to marry him?
I didn't want to.
You didn't?
I wanted to finish school, become a nurse. But it is these old-time ways, you know, that they believed in medicine people so bad. And there's a lot of men that wanted me on the medicine people side. My mother didn't want me to marry one of them. So when John came to Cochrane's, he asked for me. And right then and there, my mother told her, go ahead. And I didn't know nothing about it, that I was engaged. Until way, that was in December, I was engaged, and I didn't know nothing about it. Until he came up in March. March 29th, he came up. And the next day, we were married, the 30th. That's when I found out I was engaged.
The day before?
Yeah.
Well, did your parents think that...
Well, they picked a good man for me.
Well, it looks like it.
Uh-huh. So, I was satisfied. For the first few years, I missed my schooling and missed my folks. I wasn't grown up yet. But eventually, I got over it. I started living with him, and I just thought of him just like my father instead of husband.
So... did you learn a lot from him, or did you both learn things together?
Together. We both learn. We try and try until we got onto things the right way. Like my sewing, I had no time. My mother had no time to teach me because there was a bunch of us kids. And then she was working, trapping and fishing and making a living too. So she had no time to teach me. But I used to watch them, my grandmother and her, watched them how they work, and that's where I picked up these things from, how to work, how to sew, tan moose skin, tan all my things, and sew all my things. Mostly I sew for sale.
Well, do most people still tan their own moose skins?
Very few. You see, there's Altona and Zita is about all left, and Ruby, and beside me.
Mm-hmm. That's really nice moose skin.
Mm-hmm.
So when you learn, you say you learn by watching. Is that how you learn most of the things?
Yeah, and then I try to copy them, and you know, after I left home, I try to copy them, you know, do what they were doing. And I kept trying and trying, and pretty soon it just came out natural.
Well, what is maybe one of your favorite stories about, you know, say during the first 5 years you and Johnny were married, about something you learned or being out of the trap line?
Oh, that was way up the Novi, trapping, way out in the hills. That was best life I ever had. Go up in the fall time, in September. I stay out all winter. In April I come in with Dog Tim. Yeah, he comes in to get food in the middle of the winter.
And, did each of you have your own dog team?
Oh, yeah. I had 7 and he had 8 or 9. I had my own sled.
So did both of you do all the same kind of things?
Yeah, he go his way and I go my way on a trap line. He goes one direction and I go another direction. Sometimes he comes home long before I do. I come home sometime 9 o'clock at night. Then I'd have a nice supper to come home to. Warm, hot meal. Yeah. That was the best life I ever had, staying out in the woods. We were both happy. See, we start out early in the morning, just when it's getting daylight, and we stay out all day. Never see each other all day till in the evening when we come home. All winter long. Like beaver trapping too.
Mm-hmm. Well, how long was your line that you would go out to during the day?
Well, my line requires about 20 traps. And they were a long ways apart. But I don't know, I was young and I didn't mind it. But his was much longer. He used to go long ways. He said, of course, I'd never been on his trap line.
Did he ever go on your trap line?
Oh, yeah, when I get sick. He goes and check my line.
Uh-huh. Well, would you be out on the trap line even like if you're expecting a child? If you're...
I never knew when I'm expecting till I get hurt. It was just the same way with my daughter here. I didn't know I was carrying her. I thought I was having a change of life. I was 41. And I thought I was going through a change of life. Then I felt something in my tummy move, and then I went to see a doctor, and sure enough, they said I was pregnant.
Surprise, huh?
Yeah, it was really a surprise.
Well, what is one of Valerie's favorite stories about when that you tell about being out, you know, trapping way back, or a favorite story about both of you?
I don't know. She started school when she was 4 years old. And we started living in town then, when she started her school. Before that, we never lived in town, no place, just out in the woods or in a fish camp. And when she started school, she was 4 years old, and I was working for Head Start, and I was a cook for Head Start. And then 2 years I was cook, and third year I was a teacher's director.
What did the teacher's director do?
Well, I was teaching kids, Head Start.
Did you like that?
I enjoyed it. I love kids, you know. I started out with 13 children, and I ended up with only 9.
Well, are there things, you know, you probably tell Valerie stories sometimes about before she was born?
You know? Yeah, pretty much like I'm saying now. But I never told her no stories,
Well, things like maybe sometime when you went hunting and you went hunting for ducks or geese or first time you hunted something.
Excuse me.
Well, you know, when I was asking about stories Valerie liked, I meant something like the other night you mentioned she really liked hearing about when Johnny used to lasso.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dad never told me that. My old man didn't tell me that. But I guess when they're together, he tells her things, too. You got to ask her. I wish you get to talk to her sometime. Well, sometimes she comes up with the funniest doggone thing, what her dad tells her and what my old man never told me.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to her and, you know, have more pictures of her, too, in the book.
Yeah. She'd remember what things I've been telling her. As of right now, because I can't remember what I told her. I come up with something once in a while, tell her.
Well, when you got married, did you think that Well, who might have been more traditional or more old-fashioned, or who, between you and Johnny, who do you think?
We're both old-fashioned. Uh-huh, yeah. And our daughter is getting onto that, too. Like a lot of things that she mentioned that she don't like.
What kind of things is that?
Oh, it's, you know, like right now, I'm old-fashioned, you know. Like right now, for people living together, that's old-fashioned for her. She say it's not right because we say it, I think. We've been married, going to be 44 years pretty soon. And people was old-fashioned in those days, 1936. So naturally, I just have to be one of them, I guess.
What kind of other things are important or old-fashioned kind of things, different from today?
Oh, I don't know. What would that be now?
Are there any of like the old ways that your parents believe that you still believe, that you still do?
I never did believe in medicine people. Because I was raised with my old grandpa. My grandpa raised me. And I wasn't around my father and mother much. But they sure believed in it. They just lived for it.
You said your grandpa was white or part white?
My real grandpa was white. Uh-huh. Oh, a Frenchman.
That's the one you were living with?
No. My grandmother's second husband.
Oh. And that was Olin?
No, Roberts. See, my father's mother died just when I was born. I was born in March, and that May she died. And she was living with Olin then. Olin was married to her then. So my grandfather, Olin, left Cochrane's and moved to Nenana. Then he was around there for a while. Then he married again. And they didn't have no kids. He didn't have no kids from them, from her. But I have an aunt living in Seattle. Her name is Amelia Upham. She left just when I was about a year old, I think. I haven't seen her since.
Well, Olin, is that related to Olin up in Huslia?
No, that's a different, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So when you grew up with your grandfather, he didn't believe in medicine people?
Well, he was white. Naturally, he wouldn't believe in it, you know. Mm-hmm. But my grandmother tried to talk to me. That's how come I don't talk much, because I was confused. Grandmother talked Indian to me, and grandfather talked English to me, and I was really confused in between them. And grandmother didn't want me to talk English all the time. Grandfather didn't want me to talk Indian all the time, so naturally I just kept quiet. That's on account of that I don't talk much.
Mm-hmm. Well, Johnny talks about being a little bit confused when he was young too, huh? In the same way.
I guess so, yeah.
Must have been hard when everything was
changed. Like the rest of my sisters, they were around my mother all the time, and they know more about the Indian ways than I do.
Well, after you got married, were you around your mother and father a lot? So who would it be when Johnny talks about going out trapping with your family?
Oh, that was my mother and father just one spring, just for about 3 months, that's about all. Mm-hmm. My father was around me quite a bit after I was married, after mother died. I was 19 when I lost my mother.
Because he mentions a little bit about learning things from, you know, people in Cochrane's and being there with your family. Mm-hmm. So Would the two of you spend much time in Cockrides?
No, just when we come in. Mm-hmm. There's two times, I think, we come in during Christmas, and we were in town for about a month. A month at the time we come in. There's only about twice. The rest of the time, I was out in the woods all the time. It's so far out, and I didn't want to travel that far.
And summertime, you would be on the river?
I'd be over there in the fish camp. We had no boat. We had a rowboat. We had no kind of motor at all. So we used to come across the river and row across the river to get our water. We liked that. We enjoyed that. People would be coming by with their motors, and we never thought nothing of it. So we were just young and happy and didn't mind rowing. One day we put up a sail. The wind came up, and we put up a sail in the boat. We got out in the middle of the river, and we zoomed for a while. Pretty soon the wind died down. No more. We floated back down to the camp.
And, ever do that after that again?
No more, because every time we put up sail, the wind goes down.
How would you make that sail?
Just like a canvas on the boat. We put a mast on the boat right in the middle of the boat. Then we tie a canvas on it and spread it out, and the wind would hit it and come up the river.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. Only thing, it's tricky. You gotta watch. And I was back there steering the boat. One time I almost tipped over.
Well,
come in.
Oh. She was just telling me about
it's not too rough.
Well, there's a lot of wind around here.
Big waves, yeah. When the wind does come up, yeah.
Well, you mentioned, you know, that you really have a good husband.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that you really like about him that you think are so good?
Well, he treats me good. He never fought with me or quarreled with me. We get mad at one another once in a while, but that's just for a while. We get along real good. Maybe we both work together, that's why, I don't know.
Well, what kind of things are you working together on now? I see you work together on fish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we make money on that. I help him to make money. And then I make my own money trapping and sewing.
You still do some trapping?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you trap now?
Marten, beaver, mink, whatever comes.
So, do you have a snow machine now, or do you walk a line?
I have a snow machine. It's out there. Oh. It's old now.
So, each of you have your own snow machine?
Yeah. Each one of the family.
So when you go traveling, do you each drive your own machine?
Uh-huh. We go our own separate ways.
Well, so this winter, there are going to be three of you covering country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Four of us, in fact. James, too.
Oh. Uh-huh. Well, people seem to respect your husband a lot, and to respect you a lot. Why do you think that, how did Johnny get a good reputation? You know, what are the things that people...
For one thing, he's friendly, and he's willing to help people. That's how come we have good reputation. It's helping people, and we're always nice to people. That's what I think.
Why is helping people important, you think?
Well, it's just the way we were brought up. That's what the old people used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Long ago, people couldn't get stuck because there's other people out there to help them. So we were brought up that way. And we're still doing it. We're about the only ones.
Is that hard sometimes?
No, it just comes naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what other things do people, you know, do people really like about your family and about Johnny?
Gosh, I don't know.
You know, I've got a question. What if people help somebody else and then that person they help doesn't help other people or doesn't help them back when they get a chance? What do people think about that?
Well, the people we help, they always turn around and they help us. Come back and help us, you know. Like for Keith over here, he's been helping us quite a few years, ever since he's been living over here, because we started out helping him. And like these people over here, they helped me quite a bit this summer, because we started out helping them right from the beginning. That lady over here is something. Ah, she sure can work. She just kept right up with me. She learned fast.
And that's really a compliment to say that about someone, isn't it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
How about people in town? You know, to say that maybe it's something that the old people taught you, you know, you're supposed to help everybody, but maybe people don't do that so much anymore.
No, not in town.
Town is different. Huh?
Town is different. The only one that would help us now is the Kangas. They're our friends too, you know. If we happen to get stuck, they're out there to help us. Of course, we try to help them too. That's the only one. As for the other people, we ask for help, we got to have cash money right there to pay them. They never think about getting no help any other time, you know, if they happen to get stuck.
How about when somebody's learning something? When they're just, say, a young person is learning how to hunt, or maybe a young woman's learning how to cut fish or something like that.
Well, they got to get paid for that too.
Oh, they get paid for what if Johnny's going to take one of those young guys from town out hunting or something like that, teach him about hunting. Would Johnny have to pay that guy to go with him? Or?
Well, us is different, you know. John and I is different. We take anybody out and try to help them, so we might get help back from the person. But other people in town, if they take somebody out, I don't know, it's hard to explain. They got to expect some pay.
From that young person.
Yeah.
Can that person pay in money, or can they pay in helping out those people somehow? Or?
I don't know how. I can't tell you that. I don't know how other people live mostly, you know. I just go according to how my old man live.
Well, what ways do you think that your life together has changed from 30 years ago, say, 40 years ago?
Gosh, I don't know. We're slowing down on our work, that's about all I know. Otherwise, it's pretty much the same all the way through.
Well, how about things like, you know, you talk about how you used to just have a rowboat to go across the river, and now you've got, you know, these big kickers and boats that go faster, and windshields.
No, I don't like these fast boats. I'd rather have my old 25. I can go any place then. I had my own boat, but I sold the boat to Larry Morgan, and I sold my motor to James, so I got nothing now. I had too many boats to run around because the price of the gas came up so much, so we can't have too many boats.
Well, what about other things, like electricity and TV and things like that? Is that different for you?
Oh, yeah, much different. As, well, I don't care much for TV. But the radio I like.
Do all these new tools and things they have and machines, does that make life easier or harder?
Oh, the washing machine is much easier for me. Where I used to use washboard, I started using with machines since, I don't know, not too long ago. I've had that machine out there for 23 years and it finally broke down with me this spring. This goes to show I never used it much. Even I had it, I used washboard. This last few years I just couldn't use washboard anymore on account of my back.
Well, what kind of hopes do you have for your daughter, or for your children?
Well, just where we're living now, I guess. I can't tell about future, you know.
Do you ever think about what you'd like to see happen in the future for them? What kind of life you'd like to see them have?
Well, this is a good life right now. That's all I want for them. Just live off the country half of the time and
well, Valerie's just out of high school, huh?
Uh-huh.
One more year, huh?
Yeah. She's taking correspondence now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, she's getting to be just about the age maybe in the next 5 or 6 years or whatever. She might get married.
I don't know. She never even think about getting married. And there's a lot of boys is after her, but she just... I don't know. She's a funny girl. I worry about her sometimes. She's going to be 18 pretty soon and no boyfriend yet.
Well, maybe...
She just don't wake up to the facts of life yet, maybe.
And when she does, you'll worry about her then, too.
Yeah, that's what I was telling my old man. When there's dances in Ruby or when there's some activity going on, she just stays home and sew, knit. She just goes up to the dance and stand around for a while, go home.
Well, if she wakes up, if she gets ready, you know, to get married, mm-hmm. What kind of a guy do you think would be the best one for her? I mean, what sort of qualities in a person would you...
Well, I would want a husband for her like my old man.
Are there any of them around?
It's hard to tell.
Well, what would you tell her about what to look for?
I talked to her about what kind of man to get or look for. From here on, it's up to her. She might just fall in love with any old thing. That happens, you know.
Well, do you have any favorite year or favorite time you went out? The best time you had going trapping or hunting for something?
Going out in the fall time like this, hunting moose and ducks, I like to spend a night out, campfire, listen for moose. That's about the best time. I like it. There's no mosquitoes to bother you. It's nice and cool.
Well, Was there any one time that was especially good, like one time you remember going out hunting for moose and some, you know, what happened?
Yeah, one fall this year, but 12 years ago, my husband and I, we left here. Went up the Novi and we were going along. Pretty soon we saw two moose women across the river. And he tell me, "Hey, Ma, you get out on the bow of the boat and you shoot the moose." And I wait and wait till the moose hits the bottom. Just as soon as he hit the bottom, he was walking in towards shore. And I took a shot. And that moose just turned around and went back in the river. So my old man went out around it. And that moose went back to the beach again. Well, that time I took another shot and I hit it. And the darn thing went way back in the woods and stopped there and dropped. Oh, hard work to pack it. We stayed there a couple days, just dressing it and packing it piece by piece. And then we load the boat up and coming back home, we run into a lot of moose. We could have got them easy too. Less work, but we just didn't want any more. I really enjoyed that. Oh, that was a good hunting. Got a bunch of ducks, chickens on the beach.
Well, how do you listen for the moose? You said you listen for it.
In the evening, yeah, they make noise like a cow moose, out, them cows outside, the cows does. And the bull, they hit their horn on the wood, on the tree and make the dragging noise. Like, you never heard moose, huh?
I haven't heard him.
Oh.
He's heard lots.
Then my husband would make a horn out of birch bark and then he'd rub that on that tree and make noise like a bull horn. Antler. And that moose would be sneaking towards our camp. Early in the morning, if we wanted, we could get them, but I don't like fall meat and bulls. They taste wild. I'll just look for a cow, cheat the law.
Well, are there other kind of animals when you would hunt together that somehow you could call, or certain kinds of tricks that you would have?
No, just moose. Plus the bears they mate in the springtime.
Did you go bear hunting too?
In the fall time, you know, after it snows, we hunt in the woods for the den. I never was lucky with that though. Every time I find a den, it's always empty.
You ever call muskrats?
Oh yeah.
How do you call muskrats?
I don't know if I could do it now. You call them?
They just like you.
How would you do it?
Oh. Like that? It comes straight to us too. Yeah, I used to love that. I packed my canoe on a homemade canoe. My husband used to make canoes for me, short and wide and hard, awkward to pack. But I used to drag it along on the edge of the lakes, from lake to lake, put it on my over my head, and I walk across and portage with it. I don't know why we used to do that. Just to get half a dozen rats all night long. But we like to hunt, I guess. We used to shoot beaver too in the 40s, early 40s. And we used to drag our canoe through portages too, from lake to lake, to get our beaver.
When you used to shoot for beaver, did both of you shoot, or would you take turns? How would you work out hunting with each other? You
Well, we had canoe each. He had a bigger canoe and I had small canoe. And sometimes I get lazy to pack my canoe. So I go with him, just to go out with him. Now nothing to stay home for, nobody home. Sometimes we stay out for 2-3 nights. If we get beavers, well, we just stretch it right there. I mean, skin it and stretch it on a tree right there. And be easier to pack, lighter to pack. It's a shame to throw the carcass away, though. Couldn't eat it all. Otherwise, if it was around near camp, we would put it up to dry.
Well, what about animals like wolf or wolverine? Did you ever have any kind of...
I never did get none of those. My husband used to snare a lot of wolves. Wolverine. He's got a trick to that. I don't know. I never did try it.
What is his trick to
that? I don't know. I never did watch him. I never did go with him when he trapped wolves and wolverine.
Mm-hmm. Was he a good trapper and hunter?
Oh yeah, must be, to make a living on it.
Well, what do you think about a lot of these young people from other places coming around here to hunt and trap them?
Well, I don't know. Anyway, we don't like it, but what could we do about it? We can't stop them. There's too many against us Indians.
There are a lot of people coming in the country?
Yes.
Well, what about...
How many people do you think, say, the last 5 years? How many new people come here to camp?
In this area here? Uh-huh. Oh, I see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... 6, 7, well, I'd say 12 in this area. That's a rough guess.
How many people right out of Ruby Town, well, let me make that easier. Seems like there's a lot of young men around Ruby Town, too.
Yeah, but they don't go trapping. There's only Sweetsers and Kangas, Albert Yeriana, Philip Albert, and us is but the only one that goes out trapping.
Mm-hmm. If all those guys that don't go trapping, if all of them wanted to go trapping, would there be enough place for them to go?
There's plenty of places up Novi for them to go, but they just don't care to go out.
The places that nobody's trapping right now.
Yeah. The Honey boys goes out once in a while, but nobody taught them how to do much of anything. Their father's got no time for them because he goes out and race and go to either dead rod and all that. He's got no time to teach them. He's got a bunch of boys. So they go out by themselves and catch a few fur and come back and just, I don't know. They try, those that outfit, Honies.
Well, I guess, all the way back, when you were just a little girl, there were a lot of people trapping around.
Everybody was trapping then. Everybody.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of white people trapping then too? Like up the Novi,
old timers, yeah. they mine all summer out from Ruby, poor man, Long Creek. They go mining or help people mine. And then they get their winter's outfit and then they go trapping. There's quite a few old timers up Slatton and way up the head of Novi. Yeah. They used to go up the Novi. Well, this year there's 1, 2, 3, 4 old people used to go up. No, 5. Old people used to go up and pull all the way up. No motor those days. It's not too long ago. That was in the 30s. Pull all the way up. It take them a week to get to their destination. Take their time. That's a long ways. My husband and I used to go up and take us a week to get to our camp with a motor. So it must take them a couple of weeks to get to where they're going, pulling up.
Well, do you think people, that white people and natives got along better back then than now?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Why do you think that's changed? Why do you think people aren't so happy with white people now?
Right now, it's mostly on account of land, I believe.
What kind of things with the land?
God, they're mad over the land because the white people is taking over, you know. So they think that all the white people is the same. As from old man and now, we don't care because we can't hold the damn land. So we treat everybody equal. Indians, whites. There's not too many Indians left, you know. And if they do be mad about it, they don't go out to try to make a living on it, off of it, you know, off the land. They'd rather stay in town and live off of welfare. Or whatever.
Do you think people have different feelings about owning land than when you were really young? Did Native people own land then? Or did they think about owning land?
Well, each camp is theirs, you know. Like this land here is my great-great-grandmother's land right here. And it's when the allotments came out. Well, I didn't want it here. I want it over there where I was born, at 20 Mile. And, well, my husband said, we can't live here. We almost drowned it with him over there. We was making raft. We went out on the raft and the wind came up all of a sudden. And I almost fell off the raft with him. The raft broke up with us. On account of that, he didn't want to live there anymore. So he said, let's get this place. So I said, okay. So we moved here. Now he owns this place instead of me. I don't. Go ahead, have it, take it. And I'll get another place. So I got allotment down here too in the slough. It's a good fishing site too.
Anybody fishing over there?
My daughter is, yeah.
Oh, that's...
The fish wheels, yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You see, that was approved of to my sister-in-law. She's an old woman now. She's going to be 85 next month in October.
What's her name?
Mary Dean. That's the one that raised my old man, his sister, half sister. And she owns it now. And when she was still talking before she lost her speech, she willed everything to Valerie. Valerie was just her pride and joy. Maybe that's the reason why she's not woke up to life yet, because she's been around old people ever since she was born. And so everything is willed over to her. Everything what Mary Dean had. A lawyer came to her and while she was able to talk yet, and made out papers to Valerie. And this place is willed to her too, and my allotment too is willed to her too.
So is your allotment right next to that?
Behind the island down here. Oh. Down here, on this side.
And you said that Valerie's fishing down here too? At your allotment?
No, I fish there in the summertime. I fish and trap on that land. And over there, the battery's a lot meant well. We're going to live there this fall.
Looking forward to that?
Oh, yeah. I just love to stay in the woods. I get upset when I stay in town. Too much noise and... I don't know. I'm not used to that. I'm much happier staying out in the woods like this. Do whatever we want, and
well, you mentioned that next summer you have that you're hoping to go on a trip.
We've been planning. We planned that law a good many years ago. We never done it yet. We got a lot of friends along the Yukon River who want to visit. And after King Salmon, after I put my fish away, I'll have time. It'll be in August.
And you said you'll go up to Circle?
We'll dock our boat in Circle. We're planning on to do that. And all the way down to Yukon to Grayling or maybe St. Mary.
So when you go in August, is Valerie going to take over the camp here? How are you going
to... Oh, yeah. She'll have to stay here and take care of her dogs. Because we have no dogs to take care of. And Jim and them over here, they might stay here again. And they'll take care of the camp.
Problems that are things that people face now, like in Ruby, and how they're going to deal with them, especially I'm thinking about young people, because it seems like young people have got a lot of problems these days.
They do have. Well, I wouldn't know what their future would be. It's hard to tell. Maybe they're just going to lead their life that way all the way through till they die. Oh, no.
Like what? Like how?
Like the way they're living, just living off a food stamp and drink all the time. They make money firefighting. And they just drink it up. And a hard time comes, so they just turn around and get food stamp. I understand they're going to shut off this food stamp, huh? Yeah. Maybe that'll wake them up a little. If they don't get no help from the government, you know. They might wake up to something and then try to go out and make a living from trapping and fishing. I think that's what spoiled it, is this food stamp. Come on, welfare. Come in. Yeah, and that spoiled a lot of girls too, this welfare. Well, they don't get married and they just have babies and get welfare on that.
So they look forward to having babies so they get more welfare?
Yeah. That's why I look at it.
Well, now, how about the young men, you know? Do they seem to be having a harder time now than they did before?
Well, I couldn't say. They seem to be happy because they're getting this food stamp to live on. Keep them away from working.
Do you think they feel happy then?
I kind of think so. They look happy to me.
What kind of jobs do you think is possible for those young people to get? Or what kind of jobs do you think they want?
Well, there's always all kinds of work in town. You know, just since it became a city, there's always something going. But none of those younger generation is not interested in it. As long as they're getting food stamps, something to eat on, they just don't care to go out and work.
So what happens, what do you think would happen if they just kept going the same way that they're going now?
Gosh, I don't know. Like this Billy Captain and them, they got their house up from the government. And got a bunch of boys, they could have went out and got logs and put up house for themselves like my husband and I did. Donald Honey put up his own house. Everybody else except for those new buildings down there is all welfare.
What does that do to people to make them, to have them grow up on welfare like that?
Well, it just, I don't know, just the way they are. Lazy and don't want to do anything.
If people used to be like that, how would they be treated?
In the early days?
Yeah.
Well, nobody wouldn't care to help them then. They're lazy. And then too, if they are too lazy, nobody wouldn't care to help them. And then too, sometimes we feel sorry for them and then we turn around and help them.
This is a question about, what kind of things do you think should be in a book about your husband? If it's supposed to be a book about his life, what things should be in it?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
You know, what certain things should we be sure and say about him? What should people know? Say somebody up the kayak and they've heard his name, but they don't really know him personally. What few things could we write that so they could get an idea of what kind of man he is?
I don't know. Everybody knows him up Kaikuk River.
Well, let's pick another place.
How about Ketchikan?
Oh, way down there. No, we don't know nobody down there.
Yeah, so if we want to tell somebody, you know, the kids in school are going to read about Interior and Ruby and this man named Johnny Honey, what should we be sure and say? And do we say he's... Well, it would be, if somebody wrote a song about him, what things would they say? What would they say he was like?
Gee, I don't know. I really don't know. The only thing I know that he was a good hunter and he was nice to people and that he has had all kinds of friends. Did he say anything about he used to box long ago?
No.
He didn't tell you?
When did he box?
Oh, he was... when he was around 24, 25 years old. That was before I married him. Yeah, he used to be a boxer around Ruby. Not a pro, but he used to win all the time, I heard.
Well, who would, when would they have boxing? You know, where, who would box, where?
No more.
Yeah, but when they used to do it, where would they do it?
In Ruby, in a hall, I think, in the Eagle Hall.
So do they have matches?
Oh, yeah, and he used to win all the time. They win prizes, too. They used to have all kinds of sports in Ruby, I heard. Like dog racing. That was during 4th of July and 17th of March, you know, and Irish Day, or whatever you call it.
St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day, yeah. That's when they used to get together and have all these, all kinds of sports. They even had my father in there one time. They say he beat up a man boxing. I'd like to seen that. My father was small, real tiny man. But he was witty, you know, he was fast on his feet.
They mostly have Indians in the boxing, or who is boxing usually?
Oh, there's Johnny Allen, Johnny Gass, my old man, my pop. Dago Kid, oh, there's a lot of people just to get them together, just for sport, you know, good times.
Do people bet on them?
Who? Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah.
What kind of prizes did your husband get?
I don't know, I never did find out. But he must have been pretty good because when my brother Gordon, he's way over in Millinocket, Maine now, married to a nurse, a white lady. And when he was growing up, after my mother died, I raised him for about half a year or so. I mean, he stayed with me about half a year before he went to school. And my husband used to try to teach him how to box. And my husband done all kinds of motion there, uppercuts and crosscut or something like that he was trying to teach him. And I used to watch him, and my old man was pretty fast on his feet.
Well, I noticed that about him now. He's really fast.
Yeah.
Does he like to dance?
No.
You two aren't dancers, huh?
No. I dance. Yeah, I do. I love dancing. I used to, but my legs are bummed now. Last time I danced was when Mrs. Gertler died. That's 2 years ago. Yeah, my husband's going to be 68 pretty soon.
What day is
his birthday? Another week from now. 17th. Oh, he's here.
Well, maybe we can stop here. Anything else you'd like to say?
No.
Taping with Lorraine.